This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a radio report on the occasion of Human Rights Day. This program is produced and presented by Deeksha Saxena, Akashvani correspondent.
Human Rights Day is observed on 10th December every year, commemorating the anniversary of one of the world's most groundbreaking pledges, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. This year, the theme is a call to acknowledge the importance and relevance of human rights in our everyday lives. President of India, Draupadi Murmu, graced Human Rights Day celebration organized by the National Human Rights Commission, NHRC. In her address, she emphasized on the importance of ensuring equitable digital environment that protects the rights and dignity of all. Let's listen to a report from our correspondent Anupam as he gives the details of the celebration that took place in the national capital today.
President Draupadi Murmu has stressed on the importance to ensure equitable digital environment that protects rights and dignity of all. Addressing Human Rights Day program organized by National Human Rights Commission in New Delhi today, the president said that cybercrime and climate change are new threats to human rights.
As we progress into the future, we are confronted with emerging challenges. Cybercrimes and climate change are new threats to human rights. The digital era, while transformative, has brought with it complex issues such as cyberbullying, deepfake, privacy concerns, and spread of misinformation. These challenges underscore the importance of fostering a safe, secure, and equitable digital environment that protects the rights and dignity of every individual.
President Murmu said India stands as a shining example before the world by implementing policies for poverty alleviation, hunger eradication, and offering equal opportunities to youth. She emphasized that India, with its civilizational heritage spanning over 5,000 years, has long upheld values of empathy, compassion, and the interconnectedness of individuals within a harmonious community. The president commended National Human Rights Commission for playing a proactive role in addressing violations, bringing awareness, and recommending policy changes to uphold the rights of the marginalized. On the occasion, President Murmu released three publications of National Human Rights Commission. Acting chairperson of NHRC, Bijaya Bharati Saini, said, "Human rights serves as a powerful reminder of fundamental rights inherent to every individual, irrespective of their identity or background." UN Resident Coordinator for India, Shombi Sharp, read UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres' message on Human Rights Day. Mr. Sharp said, "India has long been the strongest champion for the Universal Declaration of Human Rights itself." A national conference on mental well-being was organized on the occasion. Anupam Mishra, Akashvani News, Delhi.
The president in her address highlighted that cybercrime and climate change are the new threats to human rights. In the fast-paced world, the development is ought to happen. Likewise, the ever-evolving digital environment is a boon but might have some repercussions as well. We spoke to Mr. Abhishek Singh, Additional Secretary, Ministry of Electronics, Information and Technology, on efforts of the government to ensure a fair digital environment.
As you're aware, today we are celebrating the Human Rights Day, and the president in her address today very categorically said that the digital era, while transformative, has brought with it complex issues such as cyberbullying, deepfake, privacy concerns, and the spread of misinformation. These challenges underscore the importance of fostering a safe, secure, and equitable digital environment. Mr. Singh, I would like you to explain this to us, how as a society and how the governments can ensure that an equitable digital environment is created to protect the rights and dignity of every individual.
I would agree totally to what Honorable President has said. And today, the concept of human rights, digital rights, become very, very important component. And when we talk of digital rights, there are certain components to that. Like the first and foremost is about access, equitable access to technology, equitable access to devices, and an ability to learn how to use technology. So in this regard, right from the inception of Digital India, digital inclusion has been the focus of the government. In that sense, the endeavor is that when we implement online services, when we implement Digital India projects, we should not create digital haves and digital have-nots. So for that, common service centers were planned wherein citizens who do not have a device or who do not have connectivity or who do not have the understanding to use the technology, they can go and get assisted access. So we have 500,000 common service centers, digital inclusion by providing access to services in an assisted access mode. So that was the first initiative that was taken up. The other key component about access means when we are providing services, it need not only be English and Hindi. We are a diverse country. We have 22 official languages. So every online service is also to be enabled in Indian languages. So that becomes very, very important aspect of inclusion for ensuring equity and access to services. The third key component is that very often people are not very comfortable browsing a website, downloading an app. They are not very comfortable entering data. Literacy is very limited. So with the advent of artificial intelligence, we are also enabling voice-enabled services wherein people can just make a query in their mother tongue with regard to information, with regard to any service details that they need, and they can do that. So that also becomes a very important component of digital rights when we are doing that. So while all these things are in the proactive sense, there are other dimension of technology, which is the misuse or the cyberbullying, as you mentioned, or the deep fakes, the misinformation that comes in. So for that also, there is adequate provision in the law, whether it's the Bharatiya Nyaya Sanghita or whether it's the IT Act of 2008, which has provisions to ensure that anybody indulging in misinformation or indulging in creating deep fakes or using technology to create pornographic content or using it for harassing someone, there are legal provisions under which actions can be taken against them. In addition to that, the Government of India also enacted the intermediary guidelines and rules in 2021, which brings it the responsibility of the social media platform through which many of these deep fakes and misinformation is propagated, that it will be their responsibility also to remove content that is found to be either deep fake or misinformation or violating social norms, something that is pornographic or leading to child sexual abuse or can have a potential to cause a law and order problem. So in there, with these categories also, there is an obligation on all the platforms to remove such content as and when the government or the competent authority points it out to them. So all these measures with regard to enabling access as also making provisions for ensuring an equitable access has been the part of India's Digital India story so far. But yes, I agree with what Honorable President said. We need to do much, much more in order to ensure this becomes a reality and everyone in India has an equitable access to all technological products.
Mr. Singh, I would also like to draw your attention towards the artificial intelligence, which is the talk of the town these days. The Honorable President also spoke about it. Could you please enlighten our listeners that how we can be safe from the negative impact of the artificial intelligence?
Artificial intelligence, while it's a boon, in many ways, it's a lot of services that people are using, especially the generative AI after ChatGPT and AI-based solutions on WhatsApp with Meta AI and all has come. All of us are using it. But at the same time, we have to be aware of the risks it poses. Very often, first and foremost, is that most of the models which are there today, whether it's OpenAI, ChatGPT, Meta, Google, or Claude, or Grok, all of them are trained on Western data sets. So the possibilities of they giving wrong outputs is very, very high. It's not that anything coming on AI-based solution is 100% correct. So whenever we are using it, we have to be cautious that it may give us wrong answers because they are trained on data sets which are not Indian. They're trained on a different kind of data set. Sometimes it just cooks up answers, which we very often in the technological world call as hallucinations, but all users are to be aware of that. Second is that use of AI to create images which can mislead people. So that's amounting to fraud, that's amounting to cheating, that can also be used for harassment and that can be used for various kinds of criminal activities. For that also, there are enough provisions under the law, whether it's Section 67, 68, Section 66 of IT Act, and provisions under Bharatiya Nyaya Sanghita, which includes if there's a cheat case or cheating by providing misinformation, it amounts an offense. So under these provisions, action can be taken. These are punishable offenses. So one has to be aware that this can be there. Every image and every video that I see on social media might not be authentic. There are measures which are being taken to ensure with the watermarking of such images, to identify such images automatically when you see it. But that has not yet become a mandatory requirement for everyone. But the entire world is trying to grapple with this problem and trying to come out with technological tools and solutions to ensure that such AI-generated deepfakes or videos are kind of watermarked or are kind of flagged that it's been generated by AI. Once that happens, we'll be able to make people much more secure than what we have right now.
Thank you so much, Mr. Singh, for sparing your valuable time and enlightening us.
Thank you. Thank you.
A national conference on mental well-being, navigating stress from classroom to workplace, was also organized today by the NHRC. The conference aims to explore the psychological impacts of stress at various stages of life, from education to employment, and propose recommendations to promote mental well-being across different sectors. Let's listen in to Dr. V.K. Paul, Member Health, Niti Aayog, as he addresses the inaugural ceremony of the conference.
Health is a human right, and by extension, mental health indeed is a human right. Indeed, all of us are predilected to have mental health issues of various level at some point in our lives. Yeah, so how to create a society which has a positive state of mental health? And I must say, this is a paradigm which is not fully cracked even in global health systems. It's work in progress. I had the opportunity to speak to Dr. Tedros, the DG WHO headquarters, and I said, do we have a measure of positive state of mental health? And he says, we don't have a metric of this. We need to work on something of that nature. How do we measure? We know the problem, we feel the problem, but is there a metric? We need to think in this direction as well so that we can measure our progress, overarching progress, but this is one aspect. We need to ensure that there is access for help when needed. In privacy, Telemanus is trying to do the same thing, but so much more of this should happen at workplaces. How do I seek help? NHRC, you are the right forum to ignite these ideas and put it on all of us to see how to go forward.
Several events were organized today on the occasion of the Human Rights Day. Chief Justice of India Sanjeev Khanna launched a special campaign for old prisoners and terminally ill prisoners. This campaign aims to assist prisoners who are above 70 years and prisoners with terminal illness in being released from prison through focused and individual-centric interventions.
NALSA today launches a special campaign for old prisoners and terminally ill prisoners, an initiative reinforcing our commitment to compassionate justice. Through systematic identification of elderly prisoners above 70 years and those suffering from terminal illness, this campaign will facilitate legal services and ensure that most vulnerable prisoners' population receive justice and dignity they deserve.
Akashwani correspondent from Agartala, Kunal Shinde, also reports on the celebrations which took place today.
Tripura Chief Minister Dr. Manik Saha today said the three new criminal laws, namely Bharatiya Nyaya Sanhita, Bharatiya Nagrik Suraksha Sanhita, and the Bharatiya Saksha Adhiniyam implemented in the country are meant to strengthen the human rights of the citizens. Speaking at a program to commemorate the International Human Rights Day in Agartala, Dr. Saha said the groundbreaking three new criminal laws that recently evolved and adopted by the central government, headed by Prime Minister Narendra Modi, have also focused fundamentally to guarantee safeguarding the rights of women and children. He said with regards to provisions in the laws, the victim can register case against the culprit from any corner of the country. The stringent provisions in the law enables law enforcement agencies to seize the property of the accused if he is on a run for a long time. The criminal laws demands filing of charge sheet in 60 days and conviction in 90 days. Dr. Saha noted that fundamental rights and constitutional rights encourages individuals to raise voice against any kind of atrocity or discrimination when it comes to safeguarding the ethnic as well as educational rights. Kunal Shinde, Akashwani News, Agartala.
The words of the President will go a long way in ensuring equal rights and dignity of all the citizens.
You were listening to a radio report on the occasion of Human Rights Day. This program was produced and presented by Deeksha Saxena, Akashwani correspondent.